good to be here this morning. I was blessed by being here, and I trust you were too. I was blessed by those songs and what was shared there about singing. And as I thought about a message for today, I think naturally our mind goes to song. You know, we've gathered together here again today to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. And we've been looking forward to having the Serenity Ensemble here to share with us, share a program with us. And as Joseph mentioned, you know, it's a part of worship. It's a very important part of worship is singing. And we can do that in sharing, whether it's listening or whether we're singing along with it. You know, the Christian has a song. The world also has a song. And there are many songs and there's much singing. And we're left to figure out what is godly music. And that's not, I've entitled the message this morning, Let Us Sing Unto the Lord, taken out of Psalm. It's a blessing when families, extended families, can sing together. You know, we had the privilege this last weekend of spending a few evenings around the campfire singing with my extended family. And it's a blessing to be able to sing so many songs together by memory. And I believe God gave his people the gift of singing to give us a glimpse of what he wants for his people and what his children have to look forward to. And I was so blessed by that second song we sung this morning there, How Great Thou Art. You know, did it give you a feeling of expectancy, a feeling it's what music should do to us? You know, King David was a singer. He's one of those Old Testament saints that had a special relationship with God. For a time, when he sang to King Saul, the evil spirit left Saul. You know, we've been blessed with David's inspirations down through the ages. David, whom God says was a man after his own heart. Regardless where we find ourselves in life, we can find words of comfort from those writings, from the Psalms. He faced ridicule. He faced rejection. He had victory. He fell into sin, sorrow, repentance. But he was a man that spent a lot of time praising the Lord. What does it take for you to lose your joy of the Lord? And I will admit that sometimes it doesn't seem to take too much for me to fall into that. But if that's the case, do I really have the joy of the Lord in my heart? And I'd like to read some verses out of Psalms this morning. You know, the psalmist admonishes us to praise the Lord for his faithfulness, to show forth the loving kindness that has been extended to us. If you want to turn with me to Psalm, I'm going to start with Psalm 92. In the second passage, I'm going to read after that, Psalm 95, we notice how he calls his readers to remember history, and he reminds us not to make those same mistakes. And in the third passage out of Psalms, the group is asked by their captors to sing to them the songs of Zion, and let's notice their reply. So starting with Psalm 92, verse 1. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning, and thy faithfulness every night. Upon an instrument of 10 strings, and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the work of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are deep. He says here, it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. You know, it does something for us. And to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness, thy faithfulness. Psalm 95, if you want to turn over there, I'm going to read the first 11 verses there. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a king above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation, and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 long years I was grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. The Lord is a great God, great King above all gods. He says in the first verse, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise. Talks about he's the creator. And in his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. You know, we look in awe at creation and the beauty of creation. God just said it. He made it. He created it. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God. And I love that verse 7, how he says, we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice. And then he goes on to give the warning to harden not our hearts as in the provocation. And then, if you will turn over to Psalm 137, we'll read the first 6 verses there. And here we have a sad picture, a picture of a dejected group of people. It says, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. A very dejected group of people. And what I'd like to pull out of there is, think of verse 5 and 6 especially, and we'll talk about that more later. If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. And thinking of Jerusalem as as a church. Now I'd like to go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and read that passage. Here we have another passage that talks about a song and also a group of people that were in a hard spot. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them others beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazar Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah in Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gave us it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil come upon us, as a sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for in thy name is this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, But they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not dismayed, afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them, behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord, and the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord sent ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. And when Judah came to the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in the gathering of the spoil. It was so much. And on the fourth day they assembled themselves in the valley of Baraka, and there they blessed the Lord. Therefore the name of the same place was called the Valley of Baraka unto this day. But then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy. For the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets into the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was in all the kingdoms of those countries, when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. So in this account we have Jehoshaphat faced with a dilemma. Things were out of his control. The messengers came and warned them of the impending danger. Some historians would say they had about 15 hours, approximately, before this group of ruthless invaders would be upon them. He was desperate. He acted quick. He proclaimed a fast. They sought the Lord. He cried out to God. And he reminded God of the way he had delivered them in the past. They remembered that. They were looking to him again for deliverance. Then they heard the comforting words from the Lord. Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Then Jehaziel went on to give them instructions on what to do. Then notice their response in verse 18. They bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord collectively. And then it says they rose early and went forth with a great artillery, several F-35s, all kinds of armored vehicles, snipers. They were led by a group of singers. They were praising the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. They were associating with a kingdom that will not be defeated. The Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You know, so much of the Old Testament story is a story of defeat and failure. Because they turned away from Jerusalem. They fell for those for what those around them had. They became ungrateful and grumbled, and they died in the wilderness. You know, we look at the Israelites as they journey through the Old Testament, and we can easily see, looking back, if only they had kept their eyes on God, instead of all those things that appealed to the flesh, instead of desiring to be like those around them, how different their story would have been. One of victory all the way through, it could have been, instead of a few victories and lots of defeats. You know, we have so much more than they did. We're living in the new covenant. We that can come boldly to the throne of grace. Now, those exiles in Psalm 137 that were asked to sing those songs of Zion, they were looking back to Jerusalem, longing to be there. You know, Christ gave his life for his bride, the church. What does that mean to you and I this morning? Are you invested? Do you appreciate the blessing the church has been and is to you? You know, most of you have been raised in a sheltered environment. In Christian, you've had the blessing of a Christian day school. A lot of you, most of us have. You've been blessed with Sunday school, vacation Bible school, winter Bible school. Do you view that as a privilege, a blessing? Or has it just become a normal? Or to some it seems almost they consider it a hindrance, something that kept them from fulfillment. Ephesians 5:25 says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." These verses give us a picture of Christ's love for his bride, the church. May we also give ourselves wholly to Christ, to love what he loved. If you were here this morning, you were given 7 days last week to show kindness. 7 days to share Christ's love, regardless if your age, of your age, your abilities, you are needed in the work of the church. You know, those very little ones are needed here. The older ones, the oldest here, you're needed here. Nothing else, just simply attending church, just being here, is an encouragement to those around you. It's a blessing to others. The joyous participation in worship that we heard this morning is a blessing. Whether it's singing, whether it's attentively listening, whether it's sharing a testimony, whatever we do, we're called to do it heartily as to the Lord, encouraging one another. You know, you never know what a word of encouragement will do or has done for someone. Excuse me. You know, there is tremendous power in encouragement. Isaiah 41 gives us some insight in the aspect of encouragement there. He says, they helped everyone his neighbor, and everyone said to his brother, "Be of good courage." So then carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smootheth with the hammer, him that smote the anvil. It goes on how they were encouraging and blessing each other. You know, let's not feed negativity, discouragement, hindering God's work in his kingdom. Let's help one another. Take that time for each other. Be willing to share our time. You know, young people, I'd encourage you you have the opportunity right now to share in vacation Bible school, to encourage youngsters. You know, most of you were blessed with that privilege. And take that opportunity to reach out and to be that encourager. You know, maybe our youth find it difficult to commit their time because we parents haven't been the examples or encouragers we should have been. You'll be willing to move out of your comfort zone. It will do something for you as well as to those around you. You know, someday, Lord willing, it will be your children that will be anxiously waiting for Vacation Bible School to start. So it just that keeps going, Lord willing. So what does that have to do with, what does these kind of things have to do with the title I gave it? Let us worship. Let us sing unto the Lord. Well, I think that let us sing unto the Lord, praising, worshiping, should be all a part of our life. It should affect every area of our lives. I'm going to close here with what I heard Dean Taylor share one time at one of our CASP meetings out of Romans 8, the last few verses there. He said these verses are the Christians' nuclear weapons. Romans 8, 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let's stand together for prayer.